Welcome to the September 28th meeting of the Center Interim Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. I'm the chair of the committee, Diane Rosenbaum. With me are two of our five members, Senator Lee Beyer, to my right from Springfield, and Senator Brian Boquist from, what do you like me to say?
West Valley.
From the West Valley, okay. And then our very capable committee counsel, Aaron Seiler. And this is our first meeting of the interim, so our first meeting essentially since July. I wanted to just start by thanking everybody who has showed up this morning, because what you are doing is one of the most important parts of state government. We rely on people to take time out of their very busy lives and very qualified professional careers to serve us in many, many capacities. And so I want to thank you on behalf of our committee. I also can tell you that I just spoke to Governor Kate Brown just a few minutes ago, and she gave her best wishes and congratulations to all of you for your confirmation hearing that we're about to embark on. So that's a nice start to the day. So I will begin by opening an organizational session for the purpose of adopting our Senate Interim Committee rules. Members, these are in front of you, so a motion to adopt would be in order.
Ma'am, I move that we adopt the proposed rules as presented by council.
Okay, Senator Boquist has moved adoption of our interim committee rules. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Okay, the rules are adopted. And I think next I'll just give a little introduction to how we're going to go through these hearings. So we have, most of you are here in the room and will be coming up in person. If you're the only person being appointed to your particular board or position, you will come up alone. If there's a group of people for the same board or commission, we'll ask you as a group. We have a few people who will be on the phone, including the first three people that we'll be hearing from. What we want to hear from you is just very briefly a statement about your interest in serving on this particular board or commission and a little about your background. It doesn't need to be very long. And then we'll open it up for questions from committee members. We'll soon be joined by our Vice Chair, Ted Ferrioli, and our other member, Senator Jenny Burdick. So that's how we operate here, and it really isn't hard. It's just we're glad you're here, and we're interested to hear from you. Okay, so I think we're ready to roll with our first person. So I will begin by opening a public hearing on the appointment of Stephen Buckley to the Public Employees Retirement Board, and he will be joining us from Italy.
Wow.
Ciao, Stephen. Is this Stephen Buckley? And here I practiced my Italian.
It's almost dinner, so he's probably out with red wine.
Oh, yeah. We don't have him.
We just have him. Yeah.
We did have him.
Maybe he's on the metro train out of
Maybe
Rome
I should say pronto. Right. I think that's what you're supposed to say.
Try it again.
Pronto? Is this Stephen Buckley?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Diane Rosenbaum. I am the Senate Chair of the Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. I've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Public Employee Retirement Board. Here with me in the Capitol in Salem are Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Brian Boquist. And what we would like to hear from you, we know you're in Italy, but we would like to hear from you en anglais, in English, a little bit briefly about your background and why you want to serve on the PERS board. Then we'll open it up for questions.
Well, thank you for allowing me to appear by telephone. I am a lawyer. For approximately 30 years, the primary focus of my legal practice has been to provide legal advice to health and pension plans in the private sector, including defined benefit pension plans. Private sector defined benefit pension plans provide retirement benefits under the same type of benefit formula as the Oregon Public Employees retirement system. Our clients have faced the same issues which the legislature and the governor have faced with PERS, such as how to pay for promised benefits, how to balance the interests of employers and employees, and how to provide meaningful retirement benefits for employees who have recently entered the workforce. When I learned about the opening on the Public Employees Retirement Board, I submitted a letter of interest to Governor Brown for several reasons. First, I have an expertise about how defined benefit pension plans work. I understand the actuarial assumptions and calculations that are so important to projecting the money needed to pay promised benefits. I understand the fiduciary responsibilities that are imposed on members of the Public Employees Retirement Board because our private sector clients operate under similar fiduciary responsibilities imposed by federal law, primarily the Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And as a lawyer, I have the training to understand the Oregon laws and administrative rules that describe how retirement benefits are calculated and the different retirement benefit options available to retirees and their beneficiaries. I also submitted a letter of interest to Governor Brown because I've reached a point in my legal career where I have more time for non-work-related activities, such as serving as a member of the Public Employees Relations Board. If my nomination to serve on the board is confirmed, I am prepared to take the time to become well-educated about the issues that come before the board, actively participate in the board deliberations, and carry out the fiduciary responsibilities and duties that are imposed on board members by Oregon law and Oregon Supreme Court decisions to the best of my ability. And I would welcome any questions from members of the Senate Interim Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Buckley. And we now have our full complement of members here in Salem. So at this point, I'll just open it up for any questions from the members. Senator Boquist.
Thank you, ma'am. Council, I think in the past, you and your firm have represented a variety of individuals and organizations, including private unions. I think you pointed that out in your application. I'd just like you to briefly, for the record, address how you might if you encountered conflicts of interest on the PERS board related to unions and union actions, how you might deal with those?
I would not anticipate any conflicts of interest because my client base or our law firm's clients are primarily private sector construction unions. If there was a conflict of interest, I would have to recuse myself and not participate in the deliberations and the decisions that the board would need to make if I felt that one of our law firm's clients had a had an interest in an issue that appeared before the board.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from the members? Okay, well, I don't see any other questions for you, Mr. Buckley, so we are all extremely jealous that you're in Italy and we're in Salem. So enjoy the rest of your time there, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today. Thanks very much for your willingness to serve and for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Ciao.
She will be pleased.
It's not fair. I'm drinking Diet Coke and he's drinking red wine.
Okay, next we're opening a public hearing on the appointment of Maria Gilmore to the Behavior Analysis Regulatory Board. She'll be joining us from Japan.
Jeez.
Well, I'm not doing sushi.
Good morning. Is this Maria Gilmore?
Yes, it is.
Thank you for joining us. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Interim Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments, and I have just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Behavior Analysis Regulatory Board. Here with me in the State Capitol are Vice Chair Ted Ferrioli and Senators Lee Beyer, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Ginny Burdick, and we're all eagerly awaiting hearing from you very briefly about why you'd like to serve on this board and just a little about your background, and then we may have questions for you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators Ferrioli, Beyer, Boquist, and Burdick. My name is Dr. Maria Gilmore, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I sincerely appreciate this opportunity to be considered to serve as a member of the Behavior Analysis Regulatory Board. I am a BCBAD, which is a doctoral-level board-certified behavior analyst, and I've been in the field of special education serving families and educators for the past 15 years. I'm a member of the faculty at Portland State University's Graduate School of Education and the Department of Special Education, and I also direct a private practice where I provide behavior analytics services predominantly to individuals with autism, traumatic and acquired brain injury, and Down syndrome. The patients I work with are primarily school age through adulthood, and my focus is on providing parent and caregiver education. I hope to serve on the board to support the state of Oregon with the licensing and registration of individuals offering behavior analytics services while upholding the ethical standards of the Oregon Health Licensing Office and the Behavior Analyst Certification Board. I also wish to help disseminate information about behavior analysis responsibly to those in our state. I'm grateful for the consideration of this position, and I would be honored to serve on the state. Serve the state as a board member. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Gilmore. And let's see if we have any questions from the members for you.
So it's a brand new board, isn't it?
This is actually, I'll just clarify, and I think our committee staff will correct me if I'm wrong. This is a board that has existed previously, but it was not subject to Senate confirmation until a change was made in the law. So this is the first time we've been hearing from people, but the board itself has functioned for some period of time. So I understand, Dr. Gilmore, that you're at a conference in Japan, and we're about to hear from another appointee who's also in Japan, but I think maybe at a different conference. So did you want to say anything about that?
Madam Chair, I have a question relating to the lack of interval staggering on the appointments. So does everybody's position expire at once, or do we have staggered appointments here?
Senator Ferrioli, how about if I don't think our appointee will probably have the answer to that question, so
that
we'll get
question
you the answer.
For staff, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Great. Dr. Gilmore?
Chair Rosenbaum, I just presented on international telehealth this morning on a panel. I had a couple colleagues there with me, and it went over very well. I've been using telehealth for about a couple of years. I'm actually serving about 22 countries, so it's been very exciting for our field. To kind of break into the healthcare field by using this medium and protecting clients' confidentiality. And it's a very exciting time for us, but with that comes, we have a lot of responsibility to be ethical and make sure we're always compliant to HIPAA standards and whatnot.
Okay, well, thank you very much for explaining that. That sounds really worthwhile. Any other questions for Dr. Gilmore? Okay, I don't see any. So, well, thank you again for joining us and taking time out of your schedule to do so. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Okay, so and I'll close that public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Mark Perlman to the Public Employees Benefit Board. If you'd like to come forward. Live and in person. Everybody else was live, but not in person.
Well, I couldn't be in Japan or Italy because today is the first day of classes at Western, so
you're here.
I'm here. And I thank you for putting me up at the top of the thing so I can go teach my 10 o'clock class. It's embarrassing to miss the first day. I'm Mark Perlman. I'm a professor of philosophy at Western Oregon University, and I am also the president of the faculty union at Western, and I've been involved in some state-level things, the OUS Task Force on Credit for Prior Learning I was a member of, and my wife works at Chemeketa Community College, so we're both governed by the board that I'm being considered for, which is a public employees benefit board. And I have some experience as in my teaching, I teach ethics classes, and we deal with some issues of medical ethics and the kinds of decisions that people have to make, life and death decisions, and trying to work through the ethical arguments about what would be the proper conduct. And so when I have a colleague at Western who served on the PEB board before, and so he encouraged me that since they were looking for a new member that to apply. So here I am. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve and for being here on the first day of classes, too. I know that's a big day. Any questions? Okay. I don't see any questions for you, so we'll thank you again for taking time out of your schedule, let you go to where you need to be, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
Thank you all.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Jill Mason and William Golaski to the Board of Trustees of the Oregon Institute of Technology, if you'd both like to come forward. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning.
And whoever wants to go first, just jump right in.
Ladies first.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators Burdick, Beyer, Ferrioli, and Boquist. My name is Jill Mason. I'm a dental hygienist from Portland, and I've been a faculty member at Oregon Health and Science University for the last 27 years. I've been nominated to serve on the Board of Trustees for Oregon Institute of Technology, and I appreciate the opportunity to here today.
Ms. Mason, I'm going to ask you to just turn that microphone toward you a little bit. You don't need to be very close to it because it's very sensitive. Great.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I hoped it was sensitive over here, but I've spent 34 years in healthcare and education, all based on the strong educational foundation that I received from OIT. And as a public health professional and a faculty member charged with preparing future healthcare professionals for their careers, I'm reminded daily of the need for institutions to stay ahead of the curve in healthcare advances and healthcare reform. I hope to bring perspective in that area to my role as a trustee on the Board of Trustees. Not to mention, I look forward to the honor of being able to serve my alma mater and the state of Oregon again. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. I think we'll hear from both of you and then open it up for questions. So please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. And my name is Bill Golaski. I'm currently living in Wilsonville, working out of the Oregon Tech Wilsonville campus. As you've read from my letters, I have been designing creative marketing material for Oregon Tech for the past 4 years, but I have been working in higher education for the past 10 years. I truly enjoy working for universities of this size. My favorite Oregon Tech moment was attending my first Pink Out basketball game, where I saw thousands of students wearing a very, very bright pink t-shirt that I had designed. It is a rewarding experience to work with an institution where the administration and the faculty are very visible to the student experience. I would bring my knowledge and expertise to the Board of Trustees for working with marketing. I have a unique perspective on how to address our students for their very unique demographics that they present. I know these students inside and outside of the classroom, as I've also been an instructor for a small course through the management department, and I thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much, both of you, for your willingness to serve on this board. And do we have any questions for Ms. Mason or Mr. Golaski? Looks like you've answered all of our questions. So thank you again, and we'll let you go, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing, and we are jumping back to Japan by the miracle of technology. And I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Wendy Michalik to the Behavioral Analysis Regulatory Board. Hi, is this Wendy Michalik? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Senator Diane
Rosenbaum.
Hi, Wendy. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. I have just opened a hearing on your appointment, and I hope I haven't butchered your last name, but I know you'll say it correctly when you introduce yourself. And we have here with me in the room in Salem Vice Chair Ted Ferrioli and Senators Lee Byers, Senator Jenny Burdick, and momentarily we will also have Senator Brian Boquist. So we know you're in Japan. We don't know what time it is there, but we appreciate you joining us, and we would like to hear very briefly from you about your background and why you want to serve on the Behavior Analysis Regulatory Board. And if you could start by saying,
Senators,
start by saying your name.
Your time. It is 12 a.m. here. I'm happy to, for the sake of technology, to join you today and have the opportunity. My name is Wendy Mihalicek. I am an associate professor at the University of Oregon, and I'm in the Special Education and Clinical Services Department there. I'm hoping to express my keen interest in serving on the Behavioral Analysis Regulatory Board as a reappointed member. My interest is a professional one based on my role as a board-certified behavior analyst at the doctoral level, a licensed practice behavior analyst in the state of Oregon. My practice focuses on providing opportunities for my doctoral students and master's students at the University of Oregon, primarily in assessing and treating serious challenging behaviors such as self-injury and aggression of young children with autism. And my scholarship has focused on the applied behavior analytic assessment and treatment of developmental delays as well for children with autism and related developmental disabilities, with a specific interest in supporting parents, teachers, and other professionals, including related service professionals, other licensed healthcare professionals, and behavior analysts, in implementing research-based practices. To date, I've published 70 articles and book chapters related to the assessment and treatment of autism spectrum disorders. And my research projects uniquely involve active and ongoing interdisciplinary collaborations with other licensed healthcare professionals, including social workers, occupational therapists, licensed family counselors, and speech-language pathologists. My experience has been over the past 18 years working in a variety of roles, but more recently as a professor of education.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your background. It sounds like it's an excellent one, and for your willingness to continue serving. Did we have any questions for Ms. Mihalicek? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so given the lateness of the hour where you are, we will let you go, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And I'll close the public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Christy Klassen to the Commission for the Blind. She will be joining us from Washington, D.C. by telephone. Hi, is this Dr. Christy Klassen?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, is this Dr. Klassen?
This is she. Is this Chair Rosenbaum?
Yes, this is Chair Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, and I have just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Commission for the Blind. Here in the room with me are our committee members, Vice Chair Ted Ferrioli, and our Senators Lee Byer, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Burdick will be with us shortly. So what we would love to hear from you is just very briefly a little about your background and why you would like to serve on the Commission for the Blind.
Okay. Well, thank you, Senators, for the opportunity to be able to speak with you this morning. I am from Portland, and right now I'm in Florida calling, and thank you for letting me do that, too. And I am an optometrist that has practiced for 18 years. My specialty area is low vision rehabilitation, and I am really excited to be able to serve on the Oregon Commission for the Blind because I feel like I will be a really good advocate for people with vision loss. And from my experience from running different clinics and seeing both sides of it, I've also been in education at Pacific University College of Optometry on faculty. And so I feel like for all aspects of Oregonians with vision loss and be able to help. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, great. You sound like you are well qualified, and I think most people would agree, and this is not a partisan political comment, that it's better to be in Florida than in Washington, D.C. right now. So
great.
We're sorry. Yeah. We're sorry we were confused about where you were. So do we have any questions for Dr. Christy Klassen? Okay, Dr. Klassen, I don't see any questions for you, so we'll let you get back about your day, and we will be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks again. So, and I'll close that public hearing, and next I'm opening a public hearing on the appointment of Gary Brown to the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. And just so people will be ready, I'll start saying who's next up. After we hear from Mr. Brown, we'll be hearing from Clyde Psyche, so you can be getting ready.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, committee senators. I'm Gary Brown, and have been. I'm a nominee for the State Workforce Investment Board as a business representative. I'm a vice president of engineering for microprocessor design at NVIDIA Corporation, a world leader in visual and graphics computing. I'm also the site manager of the Oregon site that I opened 9 years ago, and have grown to over 170 employees today. I've worked in the high-tech industry in Oregon for over 27 years, including time at Intel and a startup company where I was a founder. I've hired many hundreds of engineers and technicians in Oregon over the years, and I know what it takes to get a job in high-tech and to be successful in it long-term. Why do I want to do this? Well, I think it's part of being a responsible citizen. I spend many, many hours every week in volunteer service to our church, helping individuals and families with welfare matters, including finding employment and housing. And I know the issues and challenges associated with unemployment and underemployment. And I think that serving on this board would give me an opportunity to help people with employment matters in a broader scale. So I have a lot to learn about the board and employment needs in Oregon, but I'm a hard worker and a quick learner, and promise to do my best.
Great. Do we have any questions for Mr. Brown?
I just have one comment.
Senator Boquist.
Mr. Brown, I appreciate your comment on underemployment. I mean,
yes.
I started about three or four years ago, I started getting the department into the mind of producing the underemployment, the whole gamut of U6 rates and everything else, and who's underemployed, who's underutilized, so on and so forth. So we get a true grasp of where unemployment rates are in here. And,
right.
And since then, it has become actually a popular little document that I get on a monthly basis, and that it's distributed to the legislature, so we can actually make decisions not based on the 6 o'clock news, but what is the true labor issue that's out there.
Right.
And so to bring a perspective to the board that that recognizes the fact that we do have a lot of labor that is underutilized out there, and that we need to capture, especially given the situation that, you know, workforce participation is so low. So
absolutely.
I appreciate your insights on that.
Thank you.
And that was just a comment.
That's a comment.
Great.
Any encourage other, him to go forward.
Any other questions? And I'll just add that I served on the Oregon Workforce Investment Board for a couple of years, and I think you will find it extremely gratifying, given your background, because clearly it's way at the top of things that we work on here in the legislature, everything from transition from career and technical education into the world of work, ways that we can look for job opportunities and create more of them in Oregon, and I think you'll find a very diverse group of people on there, and it'll be, I'm sure, an excellent and enjoyable assignment for you.
Thank you.
Thank you again, and I will close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Clyde Seike as the director of the Department of Administrative Services. And after we've heard from him, we'll be calling Krista Walker so she can be getting ready. Good morning, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee, for the record, Clyde Seike, and I'm the governor's nominee to be the Chief Operating Officer for the State of Oregon and Director of the Department of Administrative Services. I'm honored that the governor has nominated me for this important position, and I'm glad to be here with you today to share some of my background and also answer any questions you may have. So I was born and raised in Hawaii, and I'm going back that far, but it won't be.
Just the highlights.
Yes.
He's feeling obligating, so we had Japan. Yeah. Every place else.
Right.
Get something out of here. Right?
So I was born and raised in Hawaii and moved to Oregon for the weather and also to attend Oregon State University, and upon graduation decided to make Oregon my home. In 1986, I began my career in state service with the Department of Human Services and was at the department for 23 years and served in a number of different positions. I managed many of the administrative services units within the department, was also the department's chief administrative officer, and spent the last 4 years as deputy director for operations before moving to the Department of Transportation in 2010. At ODOT, I was the deputy for Central Services, which is the administrative arm of the department, and had the units reporting to me were human resources, information technology, contracts, facilities, and the rest of the administrative services within ODOT. So during the last 4 years, DAS has worked with state agencies to make a number of improvements that have bridged the gap between DAS and its agency customers. Some of those improvements include the establishment of the Enterprise Leadership Team and the Customer Utility Boards, and the improving government initiatives around procurement, leasing, and the revamping of the management classification system. And while much improvement has been made, there are areas that we really need to focus on and work on. Some of those areas are the management of agency IT projects, also the improvement of the state's information security infrastructure, and the state procurement system. My goal is to build on the positive things that have happened and identify and focus on areas that need to be improved. One comment I would make is that over the years, I've had the chance to work with the staff at the Department of Administrative Services. And they really face a challenge in that they are both a regulatory and a service-providing agency. And I respect and have admired the way that the staff at DAS faces these challenges of balancing those dual responsibilities on a daily basis. So my entire career has been dedicated to public service, and I'm committed to doing whatever I can to improve the transparency, effectiveness, and efficiency in state government. I know that Governor Brown shares these goals, and I look forward, if confirmed, to working with her on making this happen. So thank you for this opportunity to speak with you this morning, and be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for taking on this assignment. It's certainly a crucial and large job. Any questions for Mr. Seike?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, my condolences. You know, you're going to the whipping child of the legislature. So, I hope you recovered from your accident and your head injury for agreeing to do this. I just want to highlight two things, Clyde.
Sure.
And you actually covered it, and you can expand on it if you want or not. But I think, I mean, the two biggest issues that jump out, having been on the oversight, one of the IT oversight committees, which got crucified at the stake, IT management is absolutely critical. I mean, the failure of at least one program and multiple other programs since I've been here, it's been a whole series of them. And then almost directly related to the IT management, and you covered both these already, is, you know, data security. I mean, even we use the system out there, and if there's a breach in the system, you know, then we lose data.
Sure.
Social Security numbers and things like that. And you know, you can comment or expand on either one of those, but I just want to point out in your own testimony or your own presentation that, you know, those are two top issues that we have that affect every member staying up here, generally negatively, because we find out in advance. But IT management and data security, if you have any further comments.
Sure. Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and Senator Boquist. Well, to your first comment, I have had many of my peers question my decision-making skills and have been asked about why I decided to take this on and have not had a good answer for them. So I'm working on that. Two things. I think on the management of IT projects, I am committed to working very closely with Alex Pettit, who's a new state CIO, to institute what he calls a stage gate process, which is a way of monitoring IT projects that really sets milestones along every step of the project. So an agency has to come in and report on how they completed the current milestone, and until they satisfy Mr. Pettit that they have met the requirements of meeting that milestone, they're not giving approval to continue. And so what happens, I think, in that process is it really allows us to head things off early in the process instead of waiting till 3 months before the project ends and then finding out we have a problem. In terms of information security, I share your concern. It's one of the things that keeps me up at night. When I was at ODOT, I had one of my information security people who would notify me every time there was a breach, not just within government, but in the private sector. And there are a lot of people working very hard to gain access to systems. So I think two things. Number one, we have to do whatever we can to improve our information infrastructure. And the legislature, I think, in its wisdom, granted the department some additional positions to work on information security. And so we need to do whatever we can to harden the infrastructure so that we don't have a breach in the first place. But then that being said, we also need to set up a system and protocol so that we can react as quickly as possible when a breach occurs and minimize and mitigate the effects of that breach. So two areas that are high priorities for me, Senator. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, well, I'm sure we'll be having a lot of chance to talk to you as you move forward in this job, and we're very glad that you're willing to accept this assignment.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Krista Walker to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board. And after we've heard from her, we'll be hearing from the other appointees to the Behavioral Analysis Regulatory Board so they can all be getting ready. And welcome to our Senate Rules Committee. By now, I think you know what we're after here. So
yes,
please
good
go
morning,
ahead.
Senators. I was asked to be on this board because I kind of have a unique perspective in that I practiced real estate in Southern Oregon for 18 years.
And I'm sorry. You do need to first say your name for the record.
Yes, sorry. Krista Walker, Realty Trust, Portland, Oregon. I'm a realtor, and like I was saying, I was asked to serve on this by one of the fellow board members because having been a realtor in Southern Oregon for about 18 years and over 2 years in Portland, I'm able to both know the rural areas and the urban areas, plus having served on Oregon Association of Realtors in the past, understanding all the realtor issues. I'm coming in as the person at large, as I'm not an appraiser, but giving a perspective of knowing both industries plus being in the field. So I'll make it short. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Walker?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I don't see any.
Okay.
Great. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thanks for no questions.
And I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Keith Chang, Carol Markovich, Brianna Loggard, Candace Pogg, and Michael Radish and Amy Locus to the Behavioral Analysis Regulatory Board. And I think we can probably pull up one more chair at the... No, we have five people, don't we? Okay, so we'll have you just maybe one of you, two of you stay in the front row, and then you can come forward. And do we have our person on the phone, too? Hi, is this Amy Locus? Is this Amy Locus?
This is.
Good morning, Ms. Locus. This is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, and I am here in the state capitol in Salem, and I have just opened a hearing on your appointment and that of several other people to the Behavioral Analysis Regulatory Board. On the dais with me here in the capitol are our Vice Chair, Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Ginny Burdick. Since you're on the phone, we're going to let you go first. We'd like you to just say your name for the record and then tell us very briefly about what your background is and why you want to serve on this board.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. Senator, thank you for having me today. I'm really sorry that I couldn't be present before you today. I'm actually starting our first day at Oregon Tech, and so my students are excited, as am I. A little bit about myself. I currently work as an assistant professor at Oregon Institute of Technology. I am a board-certified behavior analyst, and I operate a small consultancy in addition to my role to help expand the services in Southern Oregon. I've noticed the services here are greatly lacking, and various families are going without the necessary services that would allow their children to advance. My hopes in serving on the board would be to help provide some insight from some of the processes and procedures I've seen in other states to help inform the board's practices, and also to serve as an advocate to ensure that the field of behavior analysis is well represented in its processes, its procedures, and its code of ethics. So in a way, I would like to kind of serve as that insight from both ends.
Okay, well, it sounds like you have an excellent background, and I know that you're in Klamath Falls, and maybe you have classes to teach, so how about, we don't usually open it up for questions before we've heard from everybody, but why don't we see if we have any for Ms. Locus? And I don't see any questions for you, so we'll thank you for your willingness to serve on this board, and we'll let you go.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, and thank you, Senators, for having me. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Great, you too. Okay, now, everyone else who's here, whoever wants to go first, just start by saying your name, a little about your background, and why you'd like to serve.
Hi, my name's Keith Chang. I'm a child psychiatrist. I've been practicing in Oregon for 25 years. I'm a clinical associate professor at OHSU. My two major interests on being on the regulatory board are to represent referring clinicians, which I do refer patients to get treatment with ABA. And I also have a personal stake in this, too. My son also has autism, so I'm really interested in making sure that people we refer from clinical practice to receive ABA, and as I have a son who needed treatment, to make sure that families also get high-quality individuals providing that service. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Carol Markovics. I'm a clinical and developmental psychologist with 40 years' experience as a psychologist, and the last 18 years have been really focused on working with children and individuals with autism and their families. My goal in serving on the board is to represent, I think, the interdisciplinary approach that my practice has embraced. We work together as I'm the psychologist. We have three OTs and a speech and language therapist. We offer Early Start Denver model services, and wish to represent, I guess, the importance of licensed healthcare professionals who are also involved in treating autism and working with the rest of the regulatory board to ensure that we have effective treatment approaches available for our families with autism in our community.
Thank you.
Good morning, Senators. My name is Brenna Ligard, and I'm a patent attorney. I'm applying for the consumer position on the BARB. My son has autism spectrum disorder, and I've been personally involved in the legislative efforts that have kind of brought all of this about. And I've also been working through with the Health Evidence Review Commission and with the insurance division to kind of expand access to this therapy. And I am excited to participate on this level as well.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. And we'll play a little musical chairs here.
Okay, my name is Candace Pogge. I am a board-certified behavior analyst and the clinical lead manager for the Center for Autism and Related Disorders Lake Oswego office. I've been in the field of ABA treatment for individuals with autism for 7 years now, and I am just so honored to be nominated for a position on this board, and I'm looking forward to working collaboratively with the other board members to ensure access to autism treatment in Oregon.
Great.
I'm Dr. Michelle Radish. I am a developmental and behavioral pediatrician. I work in the Providence system at the Providence Neurodevelopmental Center for Children, where I've been for about 15 years. In my work, I diagnose, treat, and advocate for children with autism. I evaluate the need and order ABA services. I am a current member of the Oregon Commission on Autism Spectrum Disorders. I'm a commissioner at this point, and I chair the commission health subcommittee. I have served on the Behavior Analyst Regulatory Board since 2014. I'm interested in continuing to serve on the board to ensure high-quality ABA services are available when needed, and that services are collaborative and integrated within existing treatment programs. Senators, do you have any questions for us?
You beat me to it. Senators, do you have any questions for any of these appointees? Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I have an observation following up on Senator Farioli's comments. Skimming through the whole stack of legislative stuff that obviously some people worked on here, I note on here that there will be a chair and a vice chair as this board is formalized and comes before us. Senator Farioli raised the issue that 7 of 9 positions end on the same date. And I would just encourage the chair and vice chair, whichever of you end up in those positions after these appointments, that you come back through the governor's office or even to my office and see if we can do a tweak to the legislative portion so that 7 of you don't walk out the door at the same time. I mean, the importance of the boards and the importance of this board is the fact that we're coming before the Senate and the legislature is that, you know, we want to keep continuity in there and that having 7 end on the same time and the experience leave. That is one error in the legislation that we passed, because we generally like to keep the boards in a balance of having them over a period of time. And so I would encourage the chair and the vice chair to address that issue over the next 4 years. You'll have at least 2 legislative chances to do that. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your comment, Senator Boquist. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you all for your willingness to serve. This is certainly important and challenging. And we'll close the public hearing on this group of appointees and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Dr. Brennan Bjornson to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. And he's joining us by phone. Dr. Bjornson, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Senator Diane Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments, and I've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Here with me in Salem are Vice Chair Senator Ted Farioli, as well as Senators Brian Boquist and Senator Ginny Burdick. And what we would like to hear from you is just very briefly what your background is and why you'd like to serve on the Board of Chiropractic.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators Burdick, Farioli, and Boquist. My name is Dr. Paul Bjornson, and I wanted to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I recognize you guys have a very busy schedule. I have been a practicing chiropractor for 19 years and in the state of Oregon for 14 of those years. I had the privilege to work with the National Board of Chiropractic Examiners in Colorado from 1998 till 2001 as a test consultant primarily, but also as a proctor for the exam selection committee. I continued this assist with their clinical board examinations biannually in Portland. But I'm excited for the opportunity to assist the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and I'm very grateful for your consideration. I've had the honor of practicing and living in the state of Oregon and intend to fulfill my obligations with the board in an ethical, honest, and professional manner. I intend to promote the best interest of the chiropractic patient as well as being an advocate for the profession. So thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you and for considering my nomination.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. Are you calling in from Ontario?
I am.
Ah, great. Well, we appreciate you being willing to take on this assignment, especially when you come from a part of the state that's not so close to the capital and in Senator Farioli's very excellent district.
Yeah, it was my privilege.
Any questions for Dr. Bjornson? Okay, well, we will let you go, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of James Kitchen to the Construction Contractors Board. After we've heard from him, we'll be calling Scott Ashford. Good morning, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Good morning, Chair Senator Rosenbaum and Senators Beyer, Farioli, Burdick, and Boquist. My name is James Kitchen. I go by Jim. I'm a candidate for the Construction Contractors Board as a residential contractor. I live in my place of business. It is located in Northeast Portland. The name of my business is Interworks, LLC. We're general contractors since 94. We specialize in residential remodeling and light commercial renovation. And that's a distinction I want to make as the remodeling business, and it's a service business. We work in occupied homes. My credentials are a certified remodeler and a green certified professional. That's through the National Association of the Remodeling Industry and the local chapter in Oregon, the Oregon Remodelers Association. We're also members of the HBA Professional Remodelers Organization, so HBA is a remodeling arm too. I'm a past president of the Oregon Remodelers Association, and I'm still active in the Government Affairs Committee and the Codes Committees. I've attended a couple of CCB board meetings as a representative, industry representative, and I was encouraged by my colleagues to pursue a board position. This is an opportunity to serve as this great state as in the citizen governance level. I am excited to represent the remodeling industry. We are a service industry working in owned and occupied homes, and we're the good guys. We're taking care of the asbestos and the lead-based paint. Our people are trained, and that's what we do. It's part of being clean and tidy in people's homes. Our business demands and the members of the two organizations stand for professionalism and integrity, and that is what I intend to represent.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy occupation to serve on this board. It's extremely important, obviously, to the people that work in this area as well as to consumers that live in the homes and other buildings. So, did we have any questions for Mr. Kitchen? I don't see any questions for you, so we'll let you go.
Right.
And thank you. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
Thank you very much.
I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Scott Ashford to the Governing Board of the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. And welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Next up will be Jeffrey Brown and Joanne Schofield.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Farioli, and senators of the committee. My name is Scott Ashford. I'm a nominee for the Governing Board of the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. I currently am Dean of the College of Engineering at Oregon State University, and I previously served the state of Oregon as chair of the STIP Stakeholders Committee for the Oregon Transportation Commission, as well as chair of the Governor's Task Force on Implementation of the Oregon Resilience Plan. I'm interested in serving on the governing board because I'm passionate about preparing the state of Oregon for this upcoming Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake. It's my area of research is in earthquake engineering, and I spent much of my time really helping prepare the state. I also have a background in civil engineering and transportation projects, and I think the role of mineral industries, particularly mining, and is important to the state's economy, and I'm happy to serve the state on this board. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Great. Thank you. We'll see if we have any. And Senator Boquist.
Thank you, madam. How are your budgeting skills?
My budgeting skills, I'm running a college at one of our public institutions in the state, and so I pay a lot of attention to budgeting and making sure things are we're able to do things as efficiently as possible.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I'm sure you've done your research and know that, you know, Dugami is challenged budgetarily, and the governing board is going to have to spend more time participating in oversight of that budget if we're to keep this afloat, and if we're going to stay on track for licensing and permitting for some of the developments that will create jobs in Oregon that you just mentioned, which I just came from Nevada yesterday because I have some properties down there, and their on-track EPA-approved system approves those permits in about 18 to 24 months, and I think we're working on 8 years on one here in Oregon right now. So it could use some of your expertise, Doctor.
Thank you, Senator.
Any additional questions? Okay, well, I'm sure we'll be thinking of ones after you've left, and we know how to get hold of you. So thank you again for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Jeffrey Brown and Jonian Schofield to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, if both of you would like to come forward. Next, we'll be hearing from Adam Reinhard. And whoever wants to go first, just say your name for the record and go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, my name is Jeffrey Brown. I go by Jeff. I'm from Lake Oswego. I have been an employee benefit consultant since the 70s, recently retired, but my interest continues on. I'm honored to be considered as a nominee for the OEB board. I served as its lead consultant for the first 7 years of its existence, and my interest in that group continues to this day. And I would love to bring my many years of experience to bear on the other side of the table.
Great. I think we'll hear from both of you first, and then we'll open it up.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Jonian Schofield. I'm the Human Resources Director for Josephine County. And as most of you know, Josephine County has the lowest tax base in the state. And although that's a challenge, it's also been an opportunity for us to learn how to be incredibly efficient and creative with how we manage our budget. Also, as the HR Director, I get to hear the viewpoints from a pretty diverse workforce between, you know, law enforcement and road workers and foresters and administrative staff. And it's an invaluable asset to be able to understand what the different viewpoints are in what they're looking for in their healthcare options. So I look forward for the opportunity to lend my viewpoint and our county's viewpoint to the board. Thank you.
Well, thank you both for taking on this assignment. It's very important. Do we have any questions for these two good folks?
No, good luck.
Yes, we wish you well. So thank you again. We'll let you go and act on your appointments at the close of our hearing today. I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the reappointment of Adam Reinhard to the Employment Relations Board. After we've heard from him, we'll be calling Dr. Gary Allen. Good morning, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. My name is Adam Reinert, and I'm honored to be nominated for reappointment to the Employment Relations Board. Because this is a reappointment, I thought I'd spend my time talking about what's been happening at the agency for the last 2.5 years since I've been on the board. When I came on the board, it was a very close proximity to the appointments of two other board members. We really were a new board. And during that time, well, at that time, we faced a very significant backlog of cases, contested cases before the board, which was a great concern to our stakeholders. For example, in fiscal year 2012, it took about 139 days for the board to issue an order once it had been submitted to the board. As of fiscal year 2014, we brought that down to 49 days, and we met our key performance measure target in 2013, which was the first time, I believe, since 2003 that the board had met that target of 70 days. With being able to take care of that backlog and not having that to worry about, we were able to do some things that our stakeholders had really been looking forward to, and including updating our agency rules, starting that process. And we've also started developing a case management system to look forward to e-filing in the future, another issue of importance to our stakeholders. So if confirmed, I would look forward to the opportunity of continuing that upward trajectory of our agency, and I look forward to that challenge and opportunity, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to continue to serve. You do serve, I believe, as the public member on a three-member board. Is that correct?
Chair Rosenbaum, that is correct.
Thank you. Did we have any questions for Mr. Reiner? I don't see any for you. So thank you again, and we'll let you go.
Thank you for your time.
And act on your appointment at the close of our hearing today. I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the reappointment of Dr. Gary Allen to the Health Evidence Review Commission. While he's coming forward, Karen Joplin will be next. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for your patience.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum and senators, members of the committee. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And just to clarify, I will be a new appointee for the dental position, which is vacant right now. And for the record, although it may have already been said, I am Gary Allen. I'm a resident of Redmond, Oregon. And I'm a native Oregonian, born here, educated here through dental school. Following graduation from dental school, I joined the Army and was further trained in oral pathology and oral medicine. I spent a total of 26 years in the Army, where I received valuable experience as a clinician, educator, researcher, administrator, and a leader. I retired in 1999 and returned to Oregon, where I've had the privilege of serving on a variety of committees, task forces, and coalitions to promote access to oral health care and integration of oral health, a very important issue right now. I am honored to be nominated for this position on the Health Evidence Review Commission, where I can represent the dental profession and also promote evidence-based oral health strategies and a public health approach to improving oral health for Oregonians. Thank you. I welcome your questions.
Great. Thank you very much for taking this on in addition to the rest of your busy career. Any questions? Yes. And Chair of our Veterans Affairs Committee, Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colonel, this is kind of a ringer question, so, but even though you're the dentist on the board that's out there, the Health Evidence Review Commission is the one that kind of, for better word, prioritizes what we're going to pay for and what we're going to fund as it goes down through various things. And as the we progress, if you're not familiar, on the floor of the Senate, an OHA budget passed, Dr. Bates, who's our resident expert here in the Senate, in the medical profession, you know, outlines the future financial impacts of healthcare in Oregon and the system and some of the actual protocols and things that you'll be reviewing, and you know, the financial shortfalls that are come forth. And then very recently, just within the last couple of weeks, there was a fairly lead article in the Oregon News Oregonian that outlined you know, Oregon is at bottom of the heap in prescription drug abuse, in terms of overprescribing painkillers and things like that. So I guess my question is really to you is, even though you're a dentist, your kind of, not necessarily perspective, but your willingness to serve on a board that's going to have to make tough choices. And I hate to use the word, and I would recommend you not use it after I use it, but at some point we're going to come to the deal of rationing, where what are we going to do and what are we going to not do? And I think you have, looking at your resume, you've been through austere times in the Defense Department when it was glory days of lots of money and not so glory days. So you're mm-hmm. familiar with this prioritization and kind of looking for some commitment to, we're going to have to reevaluate some of the things we're doing.
Yes, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, thanks for that question. I do appreciate that, as having been a commander of three dental units in the Army, where we did have limited resources and we had to prioritize our resources with the mission to prepare soldiers to go to war and to deploy. And a lot of the other things that, as dental professionals, we would like to have done, we would not be able to, because the highest priority was getting them ready. So I appreciate that dilemma. If appointed, I will weigh all of the issues appropriately. Thank you.
Any other questions? So I'll just share with you, because I'm so proud of my dad, that I just came back from the World War II Memorial with my dad, who is a World War II Air Force veteran, which, of course, as you know, at the time was part of the Army Air Corps.
Absolutely.
And he has often told me the story of how he had to have all of his fillings removed and then replaced before he could fly in a B-17 bomber because of the lack of pressurization. And so I'm assuming things have improved since those days in your science.
Yes, we don't necessarily do that anymore.
Good to hear. Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, since you raised the issue, I would just point out that in the military, and the good doctor would agree, the single largest disqualifier for deployment overseas is poor teeth. It's the dental issues.
That's interesting.
Absolutely. We're working on that all the time.
I can't resist asking why. What the rationale to take fillings out and replace them?
I think the rationale was because they would pop out if they were not adequately in place, because those aircraft were so
unpressurized.
Correct.
There
is a phenomenon known as aerodontalgia, where you get a toothache from a deep filling. And it can be debilitating if you're trying to fly an aircraft, especially a jet fighter.
So this goes to show why this committee is often thought of as the soup to nuts committee, and you learn things you never thought you would learn this morning. Well, thank you again, Dr. Allen, and we'll let you go about your business. So I'll close this public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Karen Joplin to the Oregon Health Policy Board, and after her, we'll be hearing from Fred Steele. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Senator Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee. My name is Karen Joplin. I am a Hood River County Commissioner. I am serving my fifth year. And thank you for considering me for an appointment to the Oregon Health Policy Board. I've been very involved in the healthcare transformation in Oregon. I was a founding member of the Gorge CCO, which serves Hood River and Wasco County, and have remained as chair since its inception. I've also participated as a founding member for the Four Rivers Early Learning Hub, which served Hood River, Wasco, Sherman, Wheeler, and Gillum counties. I very much look forward to participating on this board and bringing a perspective that is east of the Cascades, participating in policy about crafting the delivery system for healthcare in Oregon and how it wraps around our vulnerable and marginalized populations. Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. Did we have any questions for Ms. Joplin?
Only the same comment I gave the dentist. It's going to get financially tight here very shortly, so good luck.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve and for being with us today.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, members.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Fred Steele, Jr., as the long-term care ombudsman. If you'd like to come forward and introduce yourself.
Yeah, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, I am Fred Steele, and thank you for the opportunity to come before you in what I hope is a confirmation as the next state long-term care ombudsman. I've spent the last 10 years and 10-plus years effectively honing my skills, abilities to be an advocate for Oregonians, and particularly those Oregonians, sometimes vulnerable Oregonians is the phrase used, but really those that need help with their voice or an assistance with their voice. And the long-term care ombudsman position is one of those chief advocate positions in Oregon, and I look forward to carrying out the duties and mission of that office. Models of long-term care, long-term service supports are going to continue to evolve in Oregon. And with the staff at this office and the approximately 200 volunteers spread around the state that are serving as the voice of individuals in long-term care facilities for individuals that are older adults, individuals with developmental disabilities, individuals with mental illness, I very much look forward to leading and working with that staff, those volunteers, working with the partners that are vested in improving quality of care in Oregon for our care facilities and changing models of long-term care. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions? No?
Thank you.
I have
a question. I do.
Well, you have a question. Okay, Senator Boquist.
Thank you. And actually, just an observation, because my office is seeing a growing number of concerns. I'll just put them concerns. Constituent concerns come through, and we send over to the position you're going to right now. And I think as we see more and more mergers and an aging population, you're going to see more and more contact from offices like mine. So good luck on that. And I think the interface, there has been some challenges with the interface of industry and government in this area trying to meet the needs of our citizens, especially since a lot of the major owners of some of these facilities are from hinterlands, some of them as far away as Japan and Europe, instead of being here. So good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah, I Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist. Yeah, it's, again, evolving marketplace. It's an evolving care facility process program. I mean, there are the for-profit industries, but at least for those in Oregon and the actual administrators, the industry, the associations, I think ultimately those of us in Oregon have the same goal of improving quality of care, and I will collaborate with the advocates as well as the providers to get there. So thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. We'll let you go. And next, I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Marty Lynn Sathoff to the Oregon Lottery Commission. After we've heard from her, we'll be calling James Adams. Good morning. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and please go ahead.
Thank you. Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferriero, Senators and members of the committee. First, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to introduce myself to you today. My name is Marty Lynn Sathoff. I live in Clackamas, Oregon, Senate District 21. I currently serve as the Senior Vice President and General Counsel for Northwest Natural Gas Company. When I was asked to become a nominee for the chair of the Lottery Commission, I was honored, and I have to tell you, I was pretty overwhelmed. Based on my prior experiences, both with the Department of Justice and in the Governor's Office, I understand the critical balance that is needed between generating funds for the state and protecting those vulnerable to gaming. I'm before you today still very honored and still very overwhelmed at the prospect of this position, but I want you to know that I believe I can do this job. My work and public service background has allowed me some experiences in law upon which the lottery's authority is based, and in the financial and social needs of the state. Both of those needs are at the core of the lottery's mission. I know you have my background materials, so I just wanted to thank you again for considering me for this position, and I'm happy to take questions if you have any.
Any questions from the committee? Senator?
Yes, thank you. You've worked around some of these legal issues, and there is a requirement in the lottery that the taverns and establishments that have the lottery have to can make no more than 50% of their income off of the video poker and the other machines. This, in many cases, seems to be honored in the breach. What are your plans for enforcing that requirement?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Burdick, members of the committee, to be honest with you, I think at this point I need to learn more about the issues. I have read the Secretary of Audit's recent report. I'm also aware of the rules regarding the 50%. I think what we're going to have to do with this is, for me personally, is to dig in and figure out what is required by the law for us to look at in terms of the casino prohibition. So how do we evaluate that? It looks to me that some of the tools are there to critique the revenue of our vendors, of the retailers a little more. But I think we probably have to look a lot closer at how we're doing this. I know that we are committed, the commission has committed to working with the legislature to work this rule out further for clarification.
And Madam Chair,
follow up.
Yeah, are you in charge now?
I am.
Well, my
briefly.
There were three desks while we were sitting.
Let's see, I forgot my question. The other question that I always have is the commission structure for the taverns. It has been reduced somewhat over the years and kind of recalibrated some over the years, but I think we're approaching a new round of contracts. Mm-hmm. And I've been a little concerned over some of the statements by the director which seem to be aimed at increasing commissions rather than decreasing them, and there have been studies done that show it that the cost of maintaining these machines for the business owner is minimal, and so it's really money off the top from these machines. It's a profit center for them, and especially when you combine that with the fact that some of them are de facto casinos. What are your thoughts as we approach contract renewals? What are your thoughts on how the structure is right now, and whether the commission should go up or down?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Burdick, members of the committee. Now you know why I'm overwhelmed at this position. I do know that they've recently negotiated the retailer commissions, and I think those are not up for another 5 years. So I apologize, Senator Burdick, but at this time I don't have a position on whether they should go up or down. I do believe strongly, and this is probably part of my background, that we have to dig in. We have to look at it. Our lottery needs to serve certain needs for this state. That's its primary mission. We have to make sure we can do that. At the same time, we will have to be competitive, and so that's going to mean looking at not mostly the competition within our state, but also looking at other states. I think you noted that the commissions in various states are, some of them are lower than ours, some of them are, a few of them are higher than ours. I think we're going to have to take a look at that very closely long before the 5 years is up, and I'm hoping that we'll get some assistance from the legislature as well.
Further questions? Okay, thank you very much. And I'll close the public hearing on the nomination of Marty Lynn Sotha to the Oregon Lottery Commission and open a public hearing on the appointment of James Adams to the State Marine Board.
Vice Chair Ferrioli, Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is James Adams. I reside in Portland, Oregon. I teach Oregon Administrative Law at Willamette Law School after retiring from Oregon DOJ. And I'm honored to be the Governor's Natural Resource Office nominee for the Marine Board. I'm a longtime boater on both motorized and non-motorized boats. I own a 28-foot sailboat with an auxiliary inboard diesel. And I've taken it up and down much of the Columbia River, one of our great natural resources that we share with Washington. And because of the vagaries of wind and current, one often has to employ the auxiliary engine on the Columbia, which prompted my spouse to comment on this vessel that it was basically a really slow motorboat. So I represent in the motoring class the really slow motorboats. I also own a small tandem canoe based on a tribal birch bark design that we've taken to throughout Oregon, including and up in British Columbia. And so I've explored many waterways in that way. I also have a strong interest in invasive species. I am appointed member of the Oregon Invasive Species Council, and one of our focuses is aquatic invasive species, which is a mission that is shared by both the Marine Board and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And that mission is there to protect not only Oregon's environment from invasive species, but to avoid the adverse economic effects that some invasive species cause. So if confirmed to the Marine Board, I look forward to representing voters, to listening to public input, and helping the board make sound decisions for the good of the state of Oregon.
Thank you. Other questions for this nominee?
Can I resist?
Yeah, go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Council, I noticed I was looking through the first three lines of your letter, and it kind of jumped out at me: safety, user conflicts, and small boat regulations, and the interface of that, and your participation, as I know previously, with the Department of Justice. And there are areas in which the Marine Board could improve or use some guidance, I would say. I have a whole bunch of dory boats in my district, even though I'm not on the coast. I guess they drive down in their small boats to the coast. And in many cases, we have places in the state in which, you know, we have safety issues that we don't want to address because of related litigation issues, yet we have those ongoing user conflicts. And I just saw in the newspaper this last week, not here in Oregon, thank goodness, but, you know, the state of Washington has had a problem with, you know, duck boating accidents and so on and so forth like that. And I know you're a lawyer and you won't make comments. But I would just encourage you that, you know, when we have safety issues that's out there, we have to find a way to weave through that and correct those safety issues before the litigation comes to an end. Because as lawyers, you know, sometimes this litigation lasts 7 or 8, 9 years, and then we still have the same safety issue that we're trying to do. And that conflict between users, and this specific case happens to be dory boats down on the coast, and in which there still is not a solution, even though there's a safety issue for the launch of dory boats and the recovery and the interface with, as you point out, kayakers, swimmers, surfboarders, and so on and so forth like that. So I'd hope you'd use your expertise when you're appointed to the board to, you know, try and come up with creative ways that we can address those interfaces and safety issues, even though we have litigation issues going on at the same time.
Vice Chair Ferrioli, Senator Boquist, two preliminary comments. I actually, although a lawyer, I can't undo that, but the official, of course, counsel for the Marine Board would be the Department of Justice still. So, but certainly, like other members of the board, I can look at a statute and a regulation and try to make sense of it. But the issue that you're speaking of, the user conflicts and safety, it's I think, primarily a policy issue. This same conflict has arisen and has been litigated at Cape Kiwanda, and there's an issue about the jurisdiction of the Marine Board. It can only regulate boats, and I think the prevailing sense is that surfers and swimmers are not boats. So, but the, you know, each situation presents its own pros and cons and considerations, and I hope with the rest of the board to carefully weigh those.
Thank you.
Further questions? Hearing none.
Senator Ferrioli.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, this is what I was afraid of. Yeah.
So just
I'm ready. I'm ready to gavel down the questioner.
Just for the benefit of the audience, we frequently see family members come to support various appointees, It happens that James Adams is my spouse, and that's why Senator Ferrioli is holding the gavel, and I will be declaring a potential conflict of interest toward the end when we vote. But I did want to just ask you one question. Because of your canoeing experience, could you just comment on whether you think it's important to put the strongest paddler in the front of the canoe or the back of the canoe?
Do we have the marriage commission?
Or have you ever been up a creek without a paddle?
About right now.
I hope, Vice Chair Ferrioli, Senator Rosenbaum, I hope that was mostly rhetorical, but I do think the bow paddler is a very important position on a canoe. and I would say that in the motoring, as for motoring, that you have been a steady hand at the helm.
Thank you. No further questions.
Chair, I think that further questions are unnecessary. Thank you very much for your appearance.
Thank you.
And I will pass the gavel back to the chair. I'll close the public hearing on James Adams for the State Marine Board.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Carol Ann Kirby to the State Board of Massage Therapists. And after that, we'll hear from people appointed to the Board of Medical Imaging so they can be getting ready. Thank you for your patience, and please go ahead.
Senator, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Carol Ann Kirby, and I'm a nominee as a public member for the State Board of Massage Therapists. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I want to thank you for putting me early enough this morning so I can get back and teach my class at PCC later today. I'm actually a professional accountant. I hold both a certified public accountant and certified internal auditor license. But in addition to that, I also have a physical disability. So throughout my career, I have used massage therapy to help me with my career. So I'm very excited to be able to share my skills as an accountant on the board of massage therapists to be able to further their mission in the state. I am actually looking forward to assisting them develop continuing education, for example, requirements for their licensees. I believe that I do have the skills necessary to serve on the board and provide that kind of financial oversight for the board.
Great, thank you. Did we have any questions for Ms. Kirby? Okay, I don't see any questions for you. I guess you answered them all, and we'll let you about your day so you can teach your classes. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Robin Cole, Dr. Stephen Edelman, and Dr. Catherine Hopkins to the Board on Medical Imaging. After we've heard from them, we'll go to the Nursing Home Administrators Board. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thanks for waiting so patiently. I think it can be very fascinating to listen to people who are being appointed to other boards and commissions.
Absolutely.
But we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Shalaka. Sure. Chairman Rosenbaum, senators, I am Catherine Hopkins. I am from Portland, Oregon, and I am a governor nominee for the Oregon Board of Medical Imaging. I am the chief of pediatric radiology at Dornbecker Children's Hospital in Portland, and am a professor of radiology at Oregon Health and Science University. And in those roles, I have been very active in establishing safe and responsible imaging practices for a vulnerable population, the children of the area. And I am very interested in making sure that all Oregonians have access to safe and responsible imaging, and that is why I'm interested in serving on the board. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum and community members. Robin Cole, I'm from Oregon Tech. I'm a professor down there teaching in medical imaging. I'm a nominee for the sonography position on Oregon Medical Imaging, and I'm here basically to promote the safety and welfare of the public members undergoing any kind of medical procedures.
Hi, Chairman Rosenbaum, senators of the committee. My name is Stephen Edelman. I'm a diagnostic radiologist. I received my MD degree at Stanford and additional training at Stanford, the University of Washington, and OHSU. I'm board certified. I founded a small radiology group in McMinnville, Oregon, and practiced there for 39 years. Being in a small town, I practice the gamut of radiology. And sometimes, even though in a small town, we were one of the first to do certain things in the state, or one of the first, such as sentinel node imaging for breast cancer and tomosynthesis for breast tomography. After 39 years of practicing, I retired last year to do to pursue other interests, research, teaching, and public service. I presently am volunteer faculty at the Advanced Imaging Research Center at OHSU. We're trying to develop a new treatment for post-traumatic stress syndrome using fMRI neurofeedback. And I also lecture radiology residents and various subjects of interest to them. The reason why I want to serve is Oregon has a very high quality of medical imaging. I've been involved with it for a number of years, and I want to help maintain those standards. I also want to maintain my service to the community, and hope to do that through the committee.
Okay, well, thank you to all three of you for your willingness to serve on this important board. Did we have any questions? I'll ask one just for anyone who wants to answer. I wonder if anyone wants to comment on the shift from the old-fashioned method of storing X-rays to digital imaging, and how complete is that transition in Oregon? I mean, having been somebody who had to carry X-rays around from doctor to doctor, it's certainly nice not to have to do that.
Yeah. Personally, I'm affiliated with over 100 hospitals in the state of Oregon, and I think the transition is fairly complete. I think there's a couple clinics and whatnot that still utilize film for at least review processes, but more so than not, it's completely digital.
Great.
It's a wonderful advance that allows us to read films quicker. Often our techniques now encompass huge number of films, so without the computer, it is very cumbersome to do that sort of work. I mean, we could see hundreds of images on one CT scan. Mammography now, tomosynthesis, instead of four films, we have 60 to 80 images per exposure. So we're looking at somewhere around 300 images on a woman's breast. So without the computer, it would be impossible.
Great. Thank you very much. And
I'll
Senator Boquist.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for raising that question. I would just point an observation. You can comment if you want to. And that is the digitalization has brought, you know, remarkable medical progress, but it's also brought remarkable data security issues. And having had my records as a state senator compromised, you know, digital records compromised, I would just remind you that data security is of the utmost, even in your field and the responsibility of this board.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that comment.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, well, thank you again, all three of you, for your willingness to serve, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the end of our hearing today.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of David Anderson, and are we good?
Thank you.
Yes, and Christine Prather, who will be joining us by phone, to the Nursing Home Administrators Board. Good morning. Is this Christine Prather? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Senator Diane Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments here in Salem. With me are Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Ginny Burdick. We've just opened a hearing on your appointment and that of David Anderson to the Nursing Home Administrators Board. And since you're on the phone, we'll let you go first and ask you just to tell us very briefly what your background is and why you want to serve on this board. And please begin by saying your name again for the record.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Christine Prather. I'm a long-term care administrator in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address the committee today. This is a position I feel deeply honored to be considered for. I've been in long-term care since I was 15. I started as a nursing assistant and worked in many departments. It was with great support and dedication from my motivated leaders that I grew on my career path, finished college, and became an administrator. It's my passion to help groom new leaders as they enter this profession, as well as support those who have chosen to stay in it. I believe my experience in a rural medical setting could bring a fresh perspective to the board. Recruitment and retention are difficult in medically underserved communities. With my experience in long-term care and my passion for the profession, I feel I'd be a great match for the board. Thank you again for the opportunity to address the committee and the potential to serve on such an important and worthy board.
Okay, well, we're very glad you are willing to serve. And since we have Ms. Prather on the phone, do we have any questions for her? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so you're welcome to stay on the line while we hear from the other person being appointed, and then we'll let you go. So, Mr. Anderson, please go ahead and start by saying your name.
Thank you. My name is David Anderson, and I appreciate the Senator Rosenblum and other members of the committee to allow me to appear before this and answer any questions you might have. Like I said, my name is David Anderson. I'm a nominee for this board. My background is basically I worked as a nursing home administrator for about 5 years. Since that time, I've served in government with the County of Sacramento and others. I was a advocate for children and and the elderly. I worked as a human services planner. I've set up programs for all the vulnerable populations, and I think my background in the industry and working with the elderly and the disabled and children and my desire to be of service to the community, I think I would be a good fit for this committee. And like I said, I'm willing to accept and answer any questions I possibly can.
Great. Well, thank you. Do we have any questions? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so we'll let you go and be acting on your appointment. And thank you very much, Ms. Prather, for joining us by phone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Colin Hunter to the Oregon State Board of Nursing. And after we've heard from him, we'll be hearing from Brett Morgan. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairwoman, Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Colin Hunter. I'm appearing before you today as a nominee to serve as public member of the State Board of Nursing. I'm an attorney, litigation attorney primarily in Portland. It's an honor to be nominated for the board, and it would be an honor to serve. I'm a native Oregonian, a diehard Oregonian. I was born and raised here. And growing up in Medford, it was nothing less than a dream to have the opportunity at some point in my life to serve the Oregon public. As you will have seen from my resume, I've spent several years in government service in D.C., but I take particular pride in having this opportunity to now serve the Oregon public. I think I'll keep it brief and leave it at that, but I'm very excited to have the opportunity to serve on the board. Welcome any questions that you might have, and thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. Do we have any questions? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so
great.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Brett Morgan to the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University. And after we hear from him, we'll be hearing from Lindsay Stewart. Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
For the record, my name is Brett Morgan, nomination for Oregon State University Board of Trustees. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and members of the committee. Like I said earlier, my name is Brett Morgan, and I am entering my junior year at Oregon State University studying economics and environmental sciences. I'm a lifelong Oregon resident growing up in Hillsboro, Oregon, and now an active Beaver. I have been pretty active in student issues, working in the student government at Oregon State University, as well as working with the Oregon Student Association, serving on its board of directors for over the last year. I think it's a really kind of dynamic time for higher education in the state of Oregon, and I'm eager to represent the students at Oregon State University on the Board of Trustees, as well as serve the people of Oregon, and I'd take any questions that you have this time. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for stepping up to serve as the student representative on this board. Did we have any questions for Brett Morgan? I don't see any questions for you, so we'll let you go.
Thank
you again for your willingness to serve. And I'll close the public hearing and next open the public hearing on the appointment of Lindsay Stewart to the Board of Trustees of Portland State University. Good morning and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Chairman Rosenbaum. My name is Lindsay Stewart. I am from Portland, Oregon. I am a native Oregonian as well, and significantly older than my prospective colleague from University of Oregon State. I'm a nominee for appointment to the Portland State University Board of Trustees, and this would be my first statewide board. I'm a resident of Senator Burdick's district. I'm a retired attorney and business executive, having served as Nike's general counsel and vice president and chief of staff during my nearly 30-year career at Nike. I received my undergraduate degree in economics and law degree across the street at Willamette University. My interest in Portland State goes back to my own experiences some 40-plus years ago, where I was taking business courses between law school, or between college and law school, and also courses while I was summer term while I was in law school. At the time, it provided access to myself as at that point, a non-traditional student. And it is that ability for non-traditional students to have access to a superior university that makes me a true believer in Portland State as an institution. My spouse was able to get her teaching certificate after moving from California. My son-in-law was able to get an MBA while working full-time. I believe that was the case 40-odd years ago, and I think it's also the case today, that there is a place for Portland State, and it is a place that provides an excellent educational opportunity for those who do not choose or are able to enjoy the normal college experience. I also think that it's a university that is extremely important to the city of Portland and vice versa. I think the city, Portland's vibrancy as a city is enhanced by the institution of Portland State, and I think Portland State is enhanced by being in Portland. My recent involvement in Portland State was brought about by conversations with Pete Nickerson, the head of the Board of Trustees, as well as President Bavel. They presented a very exciting path that Portland State is on and encouraged me to join this board and contribute to the governance of the institution. I believe my background serves me well, in that capacity, and I look forward to being part of the Portland State University Board.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being willing to take this on. And do we have any questions? Go Vikings.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Gary Young, who I think is here in person, and on the phone will be joined by Alice Copral Comas. And this is the appointment to the Port of Portland Board. Hi, is this Alice Copral Comas?
I think it's April.
April.
Good morning. I don't think.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments, and we have just opened a hearing on your appointment, as well as that of Gary Young to the Port of Portland Board. And here with me in the room are Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Jenny Burdick. So if you would like to just say your name, because I bet I just butchered it, and then tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Port Commission.
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and Senators. My name is Alice Crowell-Coman. I'm from Portland. I have 20 years experience as a corporate lawyer in Portland and as well as in Texas. I'm a member of the bars of Oregon, Washington, and Texas. I'm currently legal counsel at OHSU and was prior to that in private practice in Portland. I've practiced in the areas of corporate finance and mergers and acquisitions as well as project development. I feel like my experience in those areas will lend to the Port of Portland mission and strategic goals in the coming years. And having been listening to the hearings online for the last 2 hours almost, I have to say I'm amazingly impressed with my fellow Oregonians, their willingness to serve, and the skills they bring to the various commissions they'll be serving on. So I am very much honored to have been nominated and look forward to serving if I'm confirmed. Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness to serve and for your comment. I agree. It's an impressive array of Oregonians that we have before us, and we still have more to come. Since we've got Ms. Copral Comas on the phone, do we have any questions for her? Yes, Senator Boquist.
You want to do both of them at the same time?
I think because she's on the phone, we'll take questions for her now. It's less confusing.
Council Senator Boquist here. I do have an observation, a question. If you don't know, my district is a rural portion of the Willamette Valley, and the other half of the Willamette Valley is shared by Senator Girard. And oddly enough, because we're agricultural-based, the ability for us to have value-added products is dependent upon a port, and it's now a port that we don't have in terms of container shipping. The loss of jobs in my district due to the actions at the port over the last 18 months and 2 years have left it financially strapped. And I noted, you know, in your background, you do have experience in the private sector with business development and along that line. What is your perspective on and ideas on how we can get the port back into a position potentially to provide the transportation needs or help with economic development? I see you have some energy background experience.
I do. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist. I do have some experience both as counsel to a private company, so I understand the business needs of our communities and certainly am aware of the issues surrounding the marine terminal at the port and its important strategic value, not just to the people of the city of Portland, but more widely to Oregonians as well as regionally to the states around us. I would like to get further briefed on these issues by the Port staff and by the other commissioners of the Port of Portland. I think it will be important to be fully briefed on it. I understand its value, and I think that a solution is necessary.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Okay, why don't we turn to Gary Young? Please say your name for the record and just go ahead.
My name is Gary Young. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, for seeing me today. I was born in Portland, Oregon. I currently live in Boring. I served in the active duty in the Marine Corps and have been an electrician, construction electrician for 27 years until I was elected business manager and financial secretary of IBEW Local, Local 48 in Portland, Oregon.
And do you want to say anything about your desire to serve on the Port Commission?
Yes, I'm looking forward to doing what I can to help resolve the issues that were brought up by Senator Boquist. I have been connected to the port. I have members that work down there and worked a little bit with our past governor to try to resolve some of those issues some time ago.
Great. Okay. Did we have any questions for Mr. Young?
I'm going to be fair and balanced.
Go for it.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary, for your willingness to serve. And, I mean, in your letters, you know, you put out, you know, your understanding of the complex issue. It is complex. I mean, even though the individuals you represent have had and still have a very, very teeny slice, but you come from the labor background. And I'm just telling you, in my district, been hammered. I mean, the lack of the ability to have container shipping. And if fuel prices finally get low enough, we might be able to offset some through the British Columbia ports. But to get the port back into the container business and back into the shipping business, any ideas or any suggestions on, you know, how you're going to get your brother and union members and management to work together instead of against each other? Because, I mean, the economic impact is horrendous to the state of Oregon.
Chair Rosenbaum and Senator Boquist, I appreciate the question, and I don't know the answer to that right now. I'm hoping that when I become a commissioner, if you so approve, then I will look to learn what's going on and be involved. I have been working with labor and management in the role that I serve now, and I think we've made some great strides in resolving issues. So I just look forward to being a part of that, and I really truly believe that there's a resolution, and this is the most important topic at the port.
Yes, follow up.
Well, I can't believe I'm going to be the Republican saying this either, but I mean, from coming from a labor perspective, I mean, and the board has got to challenge the executive staff of the port. I mean, there's no two ways about it. We've got to do a better job. I mean, we have to find solutions to this. I mean, the economics of developing the Port of Coos Bay simply aren't there at the moment. But, you know, we have got to find a solution to this transportation issue. Other than that, you know, the jobs are going to start going away, and they're not going to be replaced. And I think you know that. You're very well doctored in that. But, you know, challenging the board members and challenging the management of the port as a commissioner, I think, is going to be imperative to finding solutions in the future.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, that will be a message I will take.
Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any for you. Obviously, you're accepting a challenging and very important assignment that's vital to the economy of all of Oregon, and you've done lots of things to prepare you for it. So thank you very much for taking on one more thing.
All right. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. Senators?
And I'll close the public hearing. And next, I will open a public hearing. And this is going to be the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training. So I'm going to call, because they're in the room, I'm going to call Sheriff Brian Wolf and Dana Vitalins forward. But before we hear from you, we are going to be getting Nadine Purinton on the phone. And after we've heard from you, we'll have another appointee, Dana Kelly Dutra, who will be on the phone. So is this Nadine Purinton? Oh, is this Kelly Dutra?
Yeah.
Hello, who's on the phone?
Good morning, and thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Kelly Dutra, and I reside in Hillsborough.
Okay. I'm a native Oregonian, and I was born and raised in Salem. So I currently work in Beaverton as the director of Washington County 911. I've enjoyed a 30-year-long career in public service, the last 22 years being in the 911 dispatch realm in Oregon. And there are several things of interest to me in this position with the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training. Throughout my 30 years of experience, I've been helped, guided, directed, and probably prodded a little bit along my path. And BPSST has been a big part of that for me. I've been fortunate enough to attend several levels of academy there. I've received a variety of important other types of training offered by the department. BPSST works with my professional association on training grants, which is very, very important to the 911 public safety realm. And I've attended a number of memorial events which bring together the public safety responders and our citizens in events that are, I think, helpful and healing, which is something that I think we all appreciate very much. A note of interest is that my very first public speaking engagement occurred at DPSST when I was asked to keynote at a Telecommunications Academy graduation. I feel a lot of gratitude to DPSST, and I can't think of a better way to give back. So I look forward to being part of the continued success of DPSST, serving with honor as the representative of my 911 dispatch colleagues across the state. I also look forward to working shoulder to shoulder with members of all of the public safety disciplines to ensure helpful, productive, ethical, and safe foundational tools that our first responders can take with them for their careers that will be successful, safe, accountable, and fulfilling. Very importantly, though, the service to our citizens of Oregon who rely on all of us in their health, safety, well-being, and peace of mind. I know how fortunate I've been in my career, and I can't wait to share what I've learned with others as we work together toward the safety and success of all in Oregon. And I thank you very, very much for this fantastic opportunity.
Okay, thank you for your willingness to serve. I usually start by introducing myself and the chair of the committee, Senator Rosenbaum. With me is Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli and Senators Lee Beyer, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Ginny Burdick. And since we've got you on the phone, do we have any questions for Ms. Dutra? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so we will let you go. And next, we'll hear from the two people that are here at the dais. Whichever one of you would like to go first, just introduce yourself.
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, my name is Dinah Vidalins. Thank you for considering my appointment to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training Board. I am currently the elected district attorney in Crook County and have been so since November 1st, 2008. The BPSST Board is primarily has two functions, training of law enforcement officers and certification. As an assistant attorney general, I represented DPSST in decertification cases, so I'm familiar with that process. Training of law enforcement officers has been a passion of mine ever since I've been a prosecutor, and I've been a prosecutor since cars were invented. So I do believe that the challenges to law enforcement in the are pretty great in the state of Oregon as well as nationally, and I think that the DPSST and the BPSST board are uniquely situated to address the problems that law enforcement is currently experiencing, and that's why I'd like to serve. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for taking on this assignment, and please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senators of the committee, thanks for this opportunity. My name is Brian Wolf. I am the elected sheriff of Malheur County. I can tell you that I have been in law enforcement for 24 years. I currently serve on the Police Policy Committee with the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, and am pleased to be a nominee for the board on the Public Safety Standards and Training. I can tell you that for the last 5 years, I've been the sheriff of Malheur County. During that time, I've made some mistakes. I've learned a lot, and I will continue. Unfortunately, I will most likely continue to make some mistakes and hopefully learn from those mistakes. I just want to make it real clear that I do understand the process. I understand that the legislature makes the rules and the laws, and law enforcement then serves by enforcing those laws. It's not for us to interpret. That's what we have our courts for. The same with the Constitution of the United States. I look forward to any questions you may have.
Well, thank you both for being willing to take on an important assignment. Do we have any questions, Senator Boquist?
Thank you. Ladies first. I actually have a question of each. Council, actually, it's a curiosity question. I'm looking at the bio or resume you put in, and you're the district attorney, and you do special work for the U.S. Attorney's Office. How does that work?
Chair,
help educate us legislators here. We're looking at the money issue.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, I am appointed as a SALSA, a Special Assistant U.S. Attorney. I get paid nothing for that position and am able to potentially handle a federal case should it happen in Central Oregon, and the U.S. Attorney's Office wanted me to consider handling that. So it's quite an honor.
Right. Thank you. Legislative advice, charge them.
Additional question?
I do have a question of the sheriff. My committee, actually was Senator Joanne Verger's committee at the time, was very instrumental in pressing the active shooter program and training program that was out at DPSD, primarily, and this is the real question here, primarily because of, you know, the lack of funding in rural areas. Council, you're familiar with this, and the whole issue of making sure that we have adequate and good training, but then we don't overburden the rural areas. I mean, I have Polk County, which was in a desperate state, for which I politically got crucified for supporting the budget levies, but it was necessary to provide public safety and prosecutors. People seem to forget that the pair of you have to be in the same room at the same time to make the system work. And Sheriff, do you have any insights of I would say overreach by the legislature, or what things we might be able to do and consider, especially in the rural areas, continuing to make sure we have public safety standards and training, but we don't overburden them, considering the financial constraints that we have in Josephine and 8 or 9 troubled counties that are almost bankrupt?
Yes, thank you. Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Boquist, great question. I can tell you, in my mind, being one of the furthest law enforcement agencies from DPSST.
I think you're the furthest sheriff, so just
with the exception of maybe Ontario or NISA.
Yeah.
And so it's, in my mind, it's never been better than it is now with the regional training. And so the way that works, the folks that work in a regional training with Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, they oftentimes come to those rural counties or remote areas to provide that training. And so when there is a mandated training, or even maybe, for instance, active shooters is not mandated, but we have an active shooter training annually in Malheur County, where we use the students and the schools to do that training. Occasionally, we'll even do it in a courthouse, because those are probably the most applicable training areas where it could possibly happen. I think you're negligent if you bury your head in the sand and say it'll never happen in my county. And so we have to train and we have to be prepared. Hopefully, we'll never have to put that training to use. But the regional training has been very beneficial.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Sheriff. Unfortunately, none of us are budgeteers, but I just point out, and I think as you know, and the council probably knows this because of observation, but the regional training services have always been on the chopping block on a biennial basis, and we're always fighting to ensure that those funds are out there.
because as you point out, you'd never know where something's going to transpire or happen. I mean, who would have thought antelope the way it was decades ago, okay?
Right.
And so it's critical that, you know, those services be provided. And it's also just critical that, you know, board members, even though there's 20 of you, remind us when we're doing things stupid in this building that, hey, you know, slow down here. That's an unfunded mandate. It's something we'd like to do, but we can't do it. So I would encourage both of you to use outreach and not just rely on the bureaucrats to say, oh, this is a bad idea. Good idea, Ferry, sometimes doesn't need to be around.
Thank you.
Okay, additional questions, Senator Burdick.
Madam Chair, thank you. Sheriff Wolf, I appreciated your comments about how the role of the sheriff fits in with the role of the legislature and the courts in interpreting the Constitution. And I understand that we all say things at times that we wish we hadn't said. And I just want to encourage you to maybe work with your other sheriffs in the state to make that fine distinction between having a strong opinion about laws that are passed and your enforcement duties as a sheriff. And this is something we actually struggle with as legislators from time to time as well. But just to make it clear that it's just perfectly fine and encouraged to have strong opinions on legislation that we pass or that Congress passes or anyone else. But that's different from your constitutional duty to enforce the laws and constitutions.
Yeah, if I could comment, Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Burdick, you're absolutely right. And when I was sworn in as sheriff, I swore that I would uphold the Constitution of the State of Oregon and the Constitution of the United States. And sometimes, for whatever reason, whether it's emotion or whatever reason, we don't like something that we have to do. And I will tell you that I'm not just saying this so that I can be appointed, you know, seeking confirmation. One real quick instance is Senate Bill 835, which was in reference to the horse, it was referred to as horse tripping, which was a emotional topic in my county. Because of tradition and culture. And so I even made a trip here to Salem opposing it in testimony. When it passed, then I felt like it was my job to enforce the law, even though I opposed it originally. And so I worked with the folks of the county of Malheur to make sure that they were not going to be in violation, because I have that duty to enforce the law. So I understand that.
No, I appreciate it. And it's sometimes difficult because we are such a diverse state. And I particularly appreciate someone in your part of the country being willing to make the extra effort to participate in a board like this. It's a long trip. It's on top of your other duties. But I think having the cultural awareness of your part of the world is very important to us all.
Thank you.
Okay. Any additional questions? We do have one more person to join us by telephone. So,
Madam Chair, if I could just ask one more question.
Sure.
Of either or both of these very qualified candidates. We've been seeing news reports about how law enforcement agencies now are finding it difficult to find people who want to enter law enforcement. Do either of you have any thoughts on what the DPSST might do to help with that situation?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Burdick, that's a great question, and it's one that has us scratching our heads daily. And I don't know what the answers are. I do know that for our agency, prior to probably a couple years ago, when we had an opening, we had 100-150 applicants. For the last three or four openings that we've had probably 30 applicants. And of course, over half of those are washed out really quickly. And there have even been times that we've had to re-advertise because none of those 30 applicants were satisfactory. And so we have to figure out a way to recruit and to find and to make this an appealing profession again. And I don't know what those answers are. I just know that we have to think outside the box to reach that goal.
Good luck on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Burdick, thank you. It's always been a struggle in Crook County.
I'm not laughing at you. It's just that we keep just about to call the third person.
I don't need to make any more comments. Okay. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you very much, both, for your answers. So now we'll get Nadine Purington on the phone. Good morning. Is this Nadine Purington?
Yes, it is.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators.
Thank you. It sounds like you know who we are, and we have opened a hearing on your appointment to the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training. We've just heard from all the other applicants, and now we're looking forward to hearing just briefly from you about your background and why you'd like to serve on this board.
Great, and thank you very much for allowing me to appear by phone. My name is Nadine Purington. I am from Portland, and I am currently employed with Multnomah County as a parole and probation officer. I was nominated for the Board of Public Safety and Standards and Training, which is DPSSP, as well as the Corrections Policy Committee. This specific position that I am a candidate for is actually the representative of the Federation of Parole and Probation Officers, which is FAPO. It is a state union who represents parole and probation officers in the state of Oregon. I myself have been a parole and probation officer in Multnomah County since 2006. I've been employed with Multnomah County since 1997 in various positions, and I have been a Multnomah County FAPO board union member for approximately 6 years. As a parole and probation officer, I hold our ethical obligations in very high regard, and I feel the process through DPSST helps maintain these really high standards. I am also grateful for the opportunity to add the perspective of a parole and probation officer to the overall law enforcement community in Oregon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Do we have any questions for Ms. Purington? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you for your willingness to serve along with everyone else who's come forward for this board, and we will let you go and act on your appointments at the close of today's hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Kevin Jensen, Juanita Santana, Kara Needler, and Corey Streisinger to the Oregon Retirement Savings Board. I think if we pull up one more chair, we can probably have all four of these good folks up at the dais at once. While you're getting settled, I will just thank you very much for your patience, and we're looking forward to hearing from you, as we have been fascinated to hear from everybody else. So whoever wants to go first, please go ahead.
Okay.
You might have to move the mic.
It's my turn. Chair Rosenbaum, thank you very much, senators of the committee. First of all, I want to thank you all for the opportunity to be here and address you. My name is Juanita Santana. I am from Portland, Oregon. And the reason for my interest in being in this board is the fact that I have over 30 years of experience, working in the management level in very complex organizations, and fortunately also serving low-income populations. I just retired recently, 5 years ago, actually, not that recently, but 5 years ago from San Francisco State University, and I came back to Portland, Oregon, where I have been working before for over 14 years. With a statewide organization. I've been for the 5 years a consultant working with the federal government and also with private in the private sector. I am very committed to checks and balances. I believe that my experience working as an employer, also as an administrator of complex organizations that have to comply with federal, state, and local regulations will allow me to contribute to this board. I have a good understanding about the needs of low-income families, and I believe that this bill, this new law, will support the needs of those families who really need to have access to financial institutions who facilitate their ability to save because they have no access right now to other means for retirement plans. But so that's basically my reason. So if you have any questions, thank you so very much.
Thank you, and I think we'll hold questions till we've heard from all four of you.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and Senators of the Committee. My name is Kevin Jensen. I was the business manager for the ironworkers in Portland, Oregon for 10-plus years. I recently retired, and by virtue of that office, I was a trustee on defined contribution and defined benefit plans for our members. And so I believe that I've got knowledge and training that would be beneficial to this board. And the reason I'd like to serve is to help the state and help young people recognize the importance of preparing for retirement, even though it seems a long ways away. It's not a long ways away. You know, the 35-plus years that I spent in the construction trade went by faster than I could ever imagined. And at this point, I think it's a great opportunity for the state to show people and to give employers also an opportunity to provide an avenue for young people and for the older people to begin to begin to save for retirement. And I think it'd be a great economic vehicle also to help people as they age be able to retire, open up new opportunities for young people. And thank you.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name is Kara Backus-Needler. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to introduce myself to you this morning. I live in Portland. I'm a constituent of Senator Chip Shields, Northeast Portland. By profession, I'm an attorney. I specialize in employee benefits. So what that means is that part of what I do is assisting employers to design and draft and maintain retirement plans. And I also advise them with respect to the legal compliance issues that arise with respect to retirement plans. And that often involves ERISA, which is the federal law that governs many employee benefit plans. I'm interested in being a part of this board because, first of all, I just welcome an opportunity to serve the state and do a small piece of the state's work. But also I think that my professional background makes me well qualified to assist with researching these issues regarding a statewide retirement plan and potentially helping to design a statewide retirement plan. So I thank you for your consideration of my nomination.
Great. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. And
good morning, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. I'm Corey Streisinger. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I'm a longtime Oregonian, currently living in Portland, a lawyer by background, and as I think you know, I was head of the Department of Consumer and Business Services from 2003 to 2011, and of course that department includes regulation of the financial services industry. Since leaving DCBS, I've been involved in financial education and financial counseling, both as a volunteer and also working part-time for NEDCO, Neighborhood Economic Development Corporation, which is a nonprofit community development corporation headquartered in Springfield. And I'm doing financial counseling and financial education for that organization. And I come in contact with all too many people who, while they are working on getting their current financial life in order, they have had very little opportunity or ability to save for the future. And the lack of retirement savings is certainly something that I think we all need to be concerned about. So I'm very intrigued by this board and this program as a new opportunity for Oregonians to save for retirement. If I am confirmed, I would look forward to serving with Senator Beyer on this board, and I would be honored to serve.
Okay. Thank you very much, all four of you, for your willingness to serve on this new board. And now I'll open it up for any questions from committee members. Looks like maybe we've used up all of our questions. So I'll just say again that we thank you. This is an extremely important assignment that you're stepping up to. I think it'll be very important to the entire state of Oregon, and a challenging and interesting one. So thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Serena Dietrich and Mark Nystrom to the Sustainability Board.
Good morning. Excuse me. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Serena Dietrich. I'm currently the Sustainability Project Manager for Deschutes Brewery in Bend, Oregon. I appreciate this opportunity today to talk to you guys. My commitment to the environment goes back over 10 years ago to a groundwater modeling project I did on a Superfund site during my undergrad studies. From that time forward, my awareness of impact over everyday activities has increased dramatically. My background with the sciences, the transportation, manufacturing, and the craft beer industry has allowed me to have a very broad perspective. I look forward to utilizing my past to help shape the future. For sustainable initiatives, collaboration and innovation is key. My passion to help lessen human impact is strong, and I'm excited to learn and collaborate on the Oregon State Sustainability Board. And I should say that appropriately. So. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committees. I'm Mark Nystrom. I live in Eugene, represented by Senator Przanski and Representative Holvey. Many of you know me as the policy manager for the Association of Oregon Counties. I do energy, environment, and land use for AOC. I used to do human services. Been with them for 5 years. Before that, I was a science teacher. I taught math and physical science to high school students, and have a master's degree in natural science and environmental education. Sustainability is a personal interest of mine, and I plan on going there as a representative representing myself, but I also will have a direct connection to talk to the county commissioners and judges, and look for an opportunity to be able to express a two-way path between the Sustainability Board and the commissioners.
Okay, thank you both for being willing to serve on the Sustainability Board. Did we have any questions for these two appointees? Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so thank you again. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today. And I will close that public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Glendon Longworth to the State Board of Tax Practitioners.
Sustainable beer just longs.
Thank you for coming forward, and believe me, you're not toward the end because we think taxes are not important. We wanted everybody in the room to hear from you, but it just worked out this way.
Good morning. My name is Glendon Longworth. I'm better known as Glenn. I have been nominated to the Board of Tax Practitioners. My wife and I live in Springfield. I am a licensed tax consultant and an enrolled agent. I've been in the business for approximately 30 years. Currently, I'm self-employed, and I work out of my house. I have also started out with a large firm, and it got smaller from there until now I'm self-employed. My interest in this board is I have, as I said, I have 30 years of experience. And during that 30 years, I've always heard good things about tax professionals in the state of Oregon. Beginning with the first class I took, they told me how I was now going to have to get through the hardest requirements to get a license that there were. And I would like to see those standards continue. I'd like to see, as things change, us continue to represent our clients in the same manner that we always have. One of my concerns as I attend classes, talk to people, is you go to these classes and they're all my age. Most of the people in the classes are my age. We need to get younger people involved or there will be nobody. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking on this assignment. Did we have any questions for Mr. Longworth? Yeah, I don't see any questions for you, so thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Emilio DeBess to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, and he is joining us by phone. Is this Dr. DeBess?
Yes.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, Chair of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. You are actually our last person that we're hearing from today, and I've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. Here in the room with me are Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer, Senator Brian Boquist, and Senator Jenny Burdick. So please tell us briefly about your background and why you want to serve on the VET Board.
Well, thank you, and good morning, Senator Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Senator Ferrioli, and members of the committee. My name is Emilio DeBess. I'm the public health veterinarian for the state of Oregon, and I'm also a practicing veterinarian in various facilities throughout the state of Oregon, as I like to maintain my interest in practice. As a public health veterinarian, I deal with public health issues, and one of the ones that most of you may be concerned with would be something like rabies. We track number of cases of animal rabies throughout the state and protect the public by informing them of any activities related to rabies for both animals and humans. I also do lecture at Oregon State University Veterinary College. I lecture on public health and epidemiology on a PCC Rock Creek Veterinary Technology program on public health issues. The reason why I want to be on the board is because I do believe in the mission of the board, which is really to protect the health of pets and livestock in the state of Oregon. Veterinarians have consistently been viewed as trustworthy individuals, and that reputation really needs to be upheld by the diligent commitment to the standards of practice throughout the state, which I'm very willing to continue educating veterinarians about the practice standards and make sure that we upheld that activity. The board continuously assesses the standards by maintaining itself current on science and technology, and I can provide some assistance with that as I teach. I keep myself very involved in the current events, especially as they relate to science and technology. I also believe in giving back to my profession and my community by volunteering. I do work with PAW Team. PAW Team is a group that provides medical care to homeless people's pets and has been recognized by the city of Portland as one of the groups that does provide great volunteer and activities related to homeless people's pets.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking on this assignment. There are a lot of issues around this, and it is certainly it's something that we need to deal with in an ongoing way. So I'm glad that you have that expertise. Did we have any questions for Dr. DeBess? OK,
Okay, I don't see any questions for you, so we will let you go back to your busy day, and we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today, and then the full Senate will be voting tomorrow.
Thank you so much, and have a good day.
Thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing. We do have actually one person signed up to testify on our witness registration, so I will call him forward now, and that is John Bartholomew.
I'll just take 30 seconds. Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, for the record, I'm John Bartholomew with AARP Oregon. Just wanted to show my support for Juanita Santana because she's been a great volunteer for us over the years. Very knowledgeable, will bring that workplace, you know, the role of being an employer to the savings board. And then also on behalf of the Campaign for Oregon Seniors and People with Disabilities, which is a broad coalition that includes the folks that are labor, businesses, advocates, all for seniors and people with disabilities. We just want to support Fred Steele for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. He has a track record of being a fantastic collaborator and working to really solve problems, which is key in that position. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Did we have any questions for Mr. Bartholomew? Okay, I don't see any, so thank you very much for your testimony. And I guess the rest of the people left here are just waiting with bated breath to see what we're going to do. And what we are going to do right now, committee members, is take a very brief recess. So stay tuned, and committee is in recess. To order. And before I make this very long-winded motion, I do want to say two things. I want to welcome Mary Mulder from the governor's staff, who is the new executive appointments person. Oh. This is her first hearing in this capacity. Kendall Claussen has moved on to a different job and no longer in state government. And so we want to welcome you, and we'll be working with you a lot. So I also want to say that, as usual, we've had, even though they're not in the room to hear us today, we've had a very, very impressive group of people appointed, and it's always astounding that so many talented Oregonians are willing to find time in their lives to take on additional assignments. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest on the appointment of James Adams to the State Marine Board. He is my spouse.
Madam Chair, that is not a potential conflict. That is an actual conflict.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. As my spouse often says, irreconcilable differences did not keep us from getting married in the first place, and therefore we've been able to stay married for some 33 years. So,
Madam Chair, since you raised this issue once again on the conflict, were you in the front of the canoe or in the back of the canoe?
I am always in the front of the canoe.
I actually derived that from his comments.
I understand if she was in the rear of the sailboat, because that's where the rudder is and the motor in the slow boat.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's not move any further. Okay, so having stated that, I will open a work session and move the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Clyde Psyche as the Director of the Department of Administrative Services, James Bomberger, Dory Davis, and Krista Walker to the Appraiser Certification and Licensure Board, Dr. Keith Chang, Dr. Carol Markovich, Brenna Leegard, Amy Locus, Candace Pogg, Maria Gilmore, Michelle Radish, and Wendy Mihalichek to the Behavioral Analysis Regulatory Board, Christine Claussen to the Commission for the Blind, Brennan Bjornson and Glenn Taylor to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, James Kitchen to the Construction Contractors Board, Scott Ashford to the Governing Board of the State Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, Jonian Schofield and Jeffrey Brown to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Adam Reinhard to the Employment Relations Board, Barry Beiler to the Energy Facility Siting Council, Gary Allen to the Health Evidence Review Commission, Karen Joplin to the Oregon Health Policy Board, Adolph Volfer Jr. to the Oregon Housing Stability Council, Annabelle Jaramillo to the Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability, Fred Steele Jr. as the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, Marty Lynn Satoff to the Oregon State Lottery Commission, James Adams to the State Marine Board, Carol Ann Kirby to the State Board of Massage Therapists, Robin Cole, Stephen Edelman, and Catherine Hopkins to the Board of Medical Imaging, Christine Prather, Misty Lone, and David Anderson to the Nursing Home Administrators Board, Colin Hunter to the Oregon State Board of Nursing, Brett Morgan to the Board of Trustees of Oregon State University, Alice Corporal Comas, and Gary Young to the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Portland, Lindsay Stewart to the Board of Trustees of Portland State University, Stephen Buckley and Crystal Gemma to the Public Employees Retirement Board, Mark Perlman to the Public Employees Benefit Board, Nadine Purington, Brian Wolf, Kelly Dutra, and Dinah Vitalins to the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training, Kevin Jensen, Karen Needler, Juanita Santana, and Corey Streisinger to the Oregon Retirement Savings Board, Serena Dietrich and Mark Nystrom to the Sustainability Board, Glendon Longworth Jr. to the State Board of Tax Practitioners, Jill Mason and William Goloski to the Board of Trustees of the Oregon Institute of Technology, Karen Utz to the Oregon Tourism Commission, Tammy Bainey to the Oregon Transportation Commission, Emilio DeBess to the Oregon State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, Barbara Johnson to the Oregon Volunteers Commission for Voluntary Action and Service, and Gary Brown to the State Workforce Investment Board. And that is our en bloc motion. Members, is there any discussion on the motion?
I carried last time.
I know that. I've got that recorded. Any objection to the motion? Okay, seeing, hearing none, motion carries. Senator Beyer, I think you have not carried an en bloc motion for a little while.
Sure, Madam Chair.
Will you oblige us?
I will do
it. Okay, so Senator Beyer will be our carrier. Thank you very much, members, for your time and attention. And with nothing further to come before us today, members, we're adjourned.
I'll take that.
Members, we're adjourned.
I'll take that.